Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin Radlin here, Lighthouse Christian Church. So glad to have each and every one of you here on the program today, and we hope that you're blessed and favored, and God is moving in your life. I've got my co-host with me today, and it's my lovely wife, Lisa Radlin. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. How are you today, Pastor Kevin?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, and we're just hoping that each and every one of you out there are doing well. And we're going to jump right into our topic today because, man, we've got a lot to cover. And you came up with this topic during a worship song, and I want to hear your story behind how you came up with this topic.
I'm not sure how many people have heard this song, but it's a beautiful song, and it says, "I will make room for you to do whatever you want to."
Right.
And I was thinking about that.
So how's that go?
Like, I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to.
Okay, yes. Now they know.
Okay, so anyways, I was thinking, what do you think God wants to do in your life? And are you allowing him to do whatever he wants to?
Right.
Do you have room for him? Or is your life so
full? So what do you mean by
full?
Like, what is something that God may want to do in your life? Give me some examples.
Well,
what are some things God may want to do in our lives? Like, I know maybe he wants to bless us financially, or what were you thinking?
His favor on us. I was thinking about is sometimes we have so many things in our life, and they could be good things, but we have so many things in our schedule that we're not making room for the Lord in our lives. Like, I was planning on telling the story a little bit later, but I'll go ahead and talk about it now, is that it's important for us to put God first, because there's so many times if I don't get up early in the morning and just start reading the Bible first thing, by the end of the day, by the time I'm done with everything, by the time we eat dinner so late, by the time I finally say, oh yes, let's have some quiet time with the Lord, I get in bed, I have the Bible in hand, and by the time I'm in the second verse, my eyes are starting to close, I'm falling asleep. So it's like I gave God the scraps of my day.
Right.
Now, how would that work if you're going to have a meeting with someone that you love, and you want to share something with them, and as you're starting to talk to them, they just start falling asleep? I mean, you would feel like, what? They don't care enough.
I mean, like,
to be
awake. I do all the time when you try to talk to me when we lay down in bed.
Exactly. As soon as your head hits the pillow, that's it.
I can go to sleep in about a minute. So, you know, you got 30 seconds to get your point across.
Now, I'm not saying that really all of our lives throughout the whole day, the Lord is included in our lives.
Right.
At all times, we have the Holy Spirit with us. We could talk to Him, commune with Him all day long. But as far as just getting in the Word and letting Him speak to you through the Word, that needs to be a priority. Versus just throwing it in whenever.
Right.
I'll give him 5 seconds.
Right.
Oh, here, I'll read one verse, you know. Spend
sure.
more time with the Lord. So that was what I was thinking, because so many times our schedule is so full of things. And it could be good things. It could be church things. It could be mission trips.
Sure.
It could be whatever. But if you're putting so much in your schedule because you only have so many hours in the day, and you don't have time to spend with the Lord, then you need to readjust some things.
Yeah, like sometimes I'll be like, yeah, Lord, I want to make room for you to do whatever you want to in my life. And then the Lord's like, okay, get up at 5 a.m. and spend some time with me in the Word, and then go for a walk and do some exercise.
You're like, Lord.
And I'm like, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah. I don't think that was the Lord. I think that was me. I really don't think that was the Lord.
Oh, man, what did I eat for dinner last night?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, but... And you know, God smiles sometimes with that, but other times I bet he can get frustrated with us, and he wants so much to get things into our life. I really do believe that God is wanting to communicate with us, wanting to fellowship with us, wanting us to make room for him, because he wants to make room for us, and he's already made room for us in his life, in his heaven, and, you know, he's given us eternal life and all of those things, and life and godliness and the beauty of a relationship with him. But what good is a relationship if you don't have a relationship? So
and he really wants to use us for his glory. And he has so many people that he wants to reach through us.
Oh, for sure.
We are his hands and feet on this earth. And if we're not obedient in doing the things that he asks us to do, then we're missing out on so much. And like the other day, we went to go see fireworks for 4th of July. And I was like, okay, I was kind of tired, but I was like, I really want to go. So we went to Cocoa Village and I thought, well, while we're there, I'm going to look for an opportunity to minister to someone. It was a lot of people. It was very hot.
And it was packed.
I was standing on a place where really you aren't even supposed to stand. It was kind of on the sidewalk, which was the walkway, but I was standing close to the edge of where, you know, you're supposed to stand. So I was not too far in the walkway. And finally, the person that was smoking cigarettes in front of me, and their smoke's blowing in my face, but that's not the point. They finally moved, and I was thankful for that. And I thought, okay, good. I finally have a spot where I can sit. So I sat my chair on the grass, sit down, and right in front of me is a young girl, probably like maybe 11 years old, in a wheelchair. And her mom's with her, and she's watching the fireworks. And right away, the first thing that came to my mind was, what if? Because we had that message, like, right. What if God wants to use you? What if? And I just sat there watching the fireworks and saying, Lord, I want to pray for her, but why am I not doing it? What's my fear right now? Is it that it's not going to work? Or is it that, what if it doesn't work and then the lady's going to think God's not real? I mean, it's not me doing this. It's you. And you know, you sent your son to die for that little girl so she could be healed. And why am I not being bold enough to get up? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start imagining myself. I need to start praying and imagining myself, praying for people that are in those type of situations.
Sure.
People that are crippled to the point where they're paralyzed and they can't even walk at all.
Stroke victims. Different things like that.
Imagining myself laying hands on them and speaking life to their body and restoration to their muscles and their bones and getting them out of those wheelchairs, because God wants them out of those wheelchairs.
Yeah. All right. I believe it.
So,
I'm with you. I'm tracking with
so
you.
So I actually left.
So you got to make room for God in those moments. You've got to say, God,
feeling
I'm gonna...
defeated. I was like, I failed you, Lord.
Yeah, right.
When I left, I was just like, I didn't make room for you
well,
in
you're
that situation.
Growing. And we're all growing, you know, and we are all faced with those opportunities, sharing Christ with a loved one or praying for someone that, you know, the opportunities, I would venture to say we walk past 250 to 500 opportunities a day to actually do ministry with someone, somewhere, in every aspect of life. It's not hard to find people to minister to and to share Jesus with. Or to pray for, really. I mean, they're everywhere.
It seems like you also, you must have a gift for people to just share their heart with you or share what's going on. Because I remember times you just go to Circle K and say to the cashier, how are you doing today? And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I'm awful. This is happening and this is happening, and just starts pouring out.
Right.
Normally you don't hear that when you just say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? You know,
that's
she literally...
what you call having the Holy Spirit lob one to you.
Yes, exactly.
He's like, here's an opportunity. What are you going to do with it? And, you know, we just have to take those opportunities and run with them and then believe that God's going to show up. I love the story in, you know, with Elisha, you know, and he's got his servant with him, and they're looking at a battle, and the odds are against them. And then he says, you know, Lord, open the eyes of my servant and show him, you know, what's going on. Because I believe that, you know, Elisha was a seer. I believe he could already see that all of heaven was behind him, that there were heavenly hosts and angel armies all surrounding the entire valley. And so he says, open his eyes. And then when he saw him, you know, he's like, oh, okay. And I think that's one of our biggest issues in this type of a scenario in making room for God, is that we don't necessarily realize that all of heaven is behind us and ready to move. We have the authority. Jesus has given us the power and the authority to move and to operate in the supernatural, in the giftings, the same things that Jesus did, he said we can do, and even greater things will we do, because he goes to the Father and he's given us the Holy Spirit and power, and that power is in our life and it's ready to be released into the world. But we are, in many times, you know, intimidated, and the enemy's using fear and anxiety and different tactics to keep us at bay. The enemy doesn't want us in full armor, assault, you know, mode going after the world because, you know, we'll win.
Right.
And so his only chance is to hide the truth of who we are from us and keep us from knowing and understanding just how powerful we really are.
And in that scenario with the girl in the wheelchair, what's the worst that could have happened? If I went up there and said, "Hi, I just noticed that your daughter's in a wheelchair and I'm a Christian and I would love to just pray for your daughter. Would that be okay? Because I believe that the Lord wants her to be walking and healthy. And if right. I prayed for her and nothing changed, then she's no worse off than she was."
Right.
It's like, I just need to be obedient. But just think, if I actually prayed for her and something happened.
And her situation changed.
Even if it was just something minor, maybe her hand straightened out and she could move her arm or her one of her legs started moving or whatever, who knows,
right.
you know? But
yeah.
if you don't take the risk, then how are you ever going to see the reward?
Right. You got to risk it to get
risk
the biscuit.
Risk is faith spelled R-I-S-K. You have right. to take the risk. You have to step out in faith.
Yeah. That's good.
And we have to put our trust in God. And I would just, the other day, I went into to serve a paper at this company. And while I'm there, I'm waiting and waiting for this president of this company to come out. And so I'm just standing there. And as I'm standing there, this guy that worked for the company starts telling the people that are there about this scenario that happened to his arm. "Oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to my shoulder this weekend. I hurt it. I can barely move it. I can't even lift it up this high." And as I'm standing there, I'm just like, why am I hearing this man tell this story right now?
Right. Because the Holy Spirit's lobbing one to you.
But the thing is, I'm like, I'm standing here getting ready to serve a paper. He's way across the room and he's at work. So what do I do? Just walk past all the desks that are there and just say, "Excuse me, sir. I couldn't help it over here that you were talking about your shoulder." You know, I was just like, what do I do in this yeah. situation? Do I like ask to speak to a manager? Like when the president comes, like, "Hey, could I ask you for a minute if I could talk to that employee right there? I have something to tell him."
I right.
mean, after I left, I was just like, maybe I should have done that. Or maybe I should call back right now and say, "Who's the man with the hurt shoulder? I want him to call me because I want to, you know,"
right.
they don't know me. I don't know them. But it was just like, why am I hearing this?
It's challenging. There's no doubt about it that it's challenging. But there are scenarios that will open up. Not every scenario is going to open up, but God's still showing you that, hey, look, there was an opportunity there. And he's showing you how to identify the opportunities, not necessarily that you have to walk through that opportunity, but that, look, there's one over there. Here's one over here. Look, oh, this one. Oh, if you just say hello, they're going to just spill their guts and tell you everything's going on in their life. That's a sign for you to actually step out. And, you know, we got to make room for the holy interruptions. We got to make room for God to be ready, you know, to move in those situations. And we got to be ready to let God open doors around us.
He is opening doors. Pray for him once I was in the car. I prayed
sure.
for his arm and shoulder, but I was like, but that's not as impactful as if you're actually laying hands on
sure.
the person and they're feeling the power of the Lord and they're getting their movement restored in their
right.
arm and lifting up their arm all the way. And then it's like, oh, wow, then they know the Lord is real. Then you get an opportunity to share the gospel. I mean, it just could have been a whole different scenario if I would have just stepped out. But it was just like, how do I cross that area of being just a visitor at a place of employment? How do I just walk over to an employee that's there on the clock and get an opportunity to pray for him?
Yeah. I think that, you know, a lot of this scenario that you're describing here is kind of like that parable of the seed. Parable of, you know, there's different ground that situations are going to fall on. There's different places that things are going to land in our lives each and every day. And some seed's going to fall on good ground, other seeds, you know. Why don't we look at that story for a minute? I think it's in Mark chapter 4.
Why don't you go ahead and read this? This is in the Message
yeah.
Bible,
All
so
right.
I think you'll do a really good job with this reading.
All right. Mark chapter 4, it says this. He went back to teaching by the sea, and a crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into an offshore boat, using the boat as a pulpit as the people pushed to the water's edge. He taught by using stories and many stories. Listen, what do you make of this? A farmer planted seed, and he scattered the seed, and some of it fell on the road, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the gravel, and it sprouted quickly, but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came, it withered and just as quickly fell away. And then some fell in the weeds. And as it came up, it was strangled among the weeds, and nothing came of it. Some fell on the good earth and came up with a flourish and producing a harvest and exceeding more than his wildest dreams. It says, are you listening to this? Really listening? And I think that's the key that we have to really look at. Are we listening to what's going on around us? There are seed being scattered all over the place. And it says this, when they were off by themselves, those who were close to him, along with the 12, asked about the stories. And he told them, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works, but to those who can't see it yet, everything comes in stories, creating readiness, nudging them towards a welcome awakening. You know, these people are the people whose eyes are open, but they don't see anything, and whose ears are open, but they don't understand a word, who avoid making an about face and getting forgiven. He continued, do you see how this story works? All my stories work this way. The farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what he has planted in them. And some are like the seed that lands on the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there's such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. And then the seed that was cast in the weeds is the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things that they have to do and all the things that they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in the good earth, listen to this, represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. You see, I believe there's a harvest that God is trying to produce in us, okay? And, it's beyond our wildest dreams. God wants to see people get out of wheelchairs. He wants to see miracles happening. He wants to see financial breakthrough and all these things happening in people's lives. But we've got to always look back and understand that not everybody is in the fertile soil stage in their life. So I may come up to somebody and share the word of truth with them, and they may reject it altogether, or they may receive it from me in that moment, but then the world's going to come and choke it out. The weeds are going to strangle it, and their everyday life is going to just kind of push all of that aside, and they're going to just keep going the way they were.
Yeah, that mother, when I should have gone up and asked if I could pray for her daughter, she might have been like, no thanks, I don't want you praying. She's been prayed for before, nothing's happened. You know what right. I mean? She could have rejected me right there, then and there.
Right. You know, but we have to look at where people are at. We have to meet them where they're at.
Right.
We can't keep looking at everybody and thinking, they're all going to be ready to hear what we have to say. Some are, it's been hidden from them. We have been given the insight to the kingdom of God. We see it. We understand that there's power available and that God's moving, but they don't see that. So they're not in the faith place that we are. And the goal is to try to get them that way there, to try to work with them.
And our biggest motivation is the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus inside us says, well, I just want to reach this person. Right. When we see that, obviously that's not me that wants to do it. It's the love through me that says, reach out to that person. The love of Jesus through me. I like in verse 19 where it says, letting the worries about things and the cares of the world and the stress strangling what they heard and nothing comes out of it. Like, what are you worried about? What are we focusing on? And what are we focusing on, what develops in our life? Because what we magnify gets bigger in our life. And the most important thing in our lives is what we're magnifying. So if we're magnifying Jesus, then we're going to prioritize Jesus in our lives.
Right.
And if we're focusing on stressful things in our lives and all these plans and agendas that we have to do, then we're going to squeeze him out of the picture and we're just going to focus on those things. And then he's just going to be left to the wayside.
Which is basically making room for God. So what I see here in this story of the, the seeds and the sowing of the seeds is this. Are we going to make room for God to move in our lives? That's what the fertile soil looks like. It's a person who's making room for God to come and do what it is that God does in their life. Or are we going to not make room for God, let the cares of this life, the stress, the situations and circumstances surrounding us burn up the seed or, you know, strangle the seed? Are we going to let the enemy just come and steal that away from us? You know, the birds come and eat up the seed in one of those scenarios, and that's just the enemy is coming for the Word of God in your life, guys. Listen to me. If you do not make room for the Word of God in your heart, it's going to come into your head, and the enemy is going to grab it before it ever gets into your heart, and then you're never going to truly have a deep-rooted faith that will produce miracles and produce amazing things in your life. So I think this is a great topic. We've got to make room for the Word of God to flourish and come into our lives. And, you know, we've got to make room for that.
And we've got to make room and priority in our schedule for people and not just be on our own agenda. Like the other day, we went to a movie, and as we're driving back from a movie, I saw an old man walking with the walker, and he looked confused. Like, he looked like he was trying to go into the grass or something. And I said, "What's up with that old man? Like, he's walking with the walker and he's way over here by racetrack. What's he doing?" And then you're like, "Oh, he probably lives in this area. He's probably just going to racetrack." I go, "But he looks like he's going into the woods." And he's like, "You're like, oh, he's fine. He's back on the road now." So we just continued on, went to the house, did some things with my mom or whatever. And then we were coming back. We were going to go to Port Canaveral to go eat somewhere. And then I saw that man sitting on the corner of Courtney and 528, just sitting in his
walker. Right in the middle of a major intersection.
It's like 97 degrees outside.
Yeah, it was hot.
He's soaking wet with sweat. And I was like, "This guy's lost. There's no way." So I said, "Please don't go to Grills. Keep going. Let's go find that guy," yeah. You know? So I felt such an urgency. Like, we got to rescue this guy, you know? So we went up to him. "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm going to CVS, but I don't know where it is," you know? And so we wound up taking him in the car, going and getting him a drink so he can get refreshed, took him to CVS, and then took him back home. And it was just like, yeah, we didn't get to eat where we wanted to go. We didn't have the time to do what we wanted to do, but we got to minister to this man who needed help. Who knows? Right. He could have had heat stroke or something if we wouldn't have taken the time.
Could have been putting him in the ambulance the next time we drove by,
exactly.
You know, for sure. So I do think it is important that we make room for the voice of the Lord. That was what that was in your heart. I'm like, "We got to keep moving." And you're like, "No, we have to go now." So, and I've learned, to listen to that voice in you sometimes, because I can get so busy running and moving and doing things. And the same with all of us. We get out there, but let's make a little bit more room for God to begin to speak to us and to begin to move through us and to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to share the love of God with those around us each and every day. Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk a little bit more about this.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. We're so glad that you joined us today. We've been talking about making room for God, all based out of that song, I Will Make Room for You.
To do whatever you want to.
You know, I think the real question is, are we really prepared to do whatever it is that God wants us to do? We kind of talked about stopping our lives and filling in where God's trying to speak to us, to minister to others. We've talked about ministering with ourselves, getting up early, doing things. I mean, there's a lot of ways that God's wanting us to make room for him in our lives.
And so, most of it requires us to put down our own selfishness and our own selfish desires and desire the things of the Lord.
Right. You know, we need to examine our lives. We need to pray. We need to ask God to show us if there's anything in our lives that he may want us to stop doing, or if there's anything in our lives he may want us to start doing, everything from Bible study to prayer to, you know, relationships to even our jobs, every aspect of our life.
Maybe we have too many hobbies in our life.
Yeah.
Maybe we're doing too much things to entertain ourselves, and we're not spending time with the Lord and other believers.
Or maybe we're not.
You know? Or maybe we're doing so much
around,
busy stuff.
Maybe we're just watching TV every day for 5 hours a day, and the Lord's saying, get up and go outside.
Right.
Get out of the house and go do something. But the bottom line is this. You know, we have got to make a priority in our lives that we're going to make room for God. We've got to make room for him.
We only have so much time in the day. Are you doing with the time that you have?
Yeah, it's what, lopo hypo, right? Remember that one?
Yes.
Is it a low priority or a high priority?
At the end of the day, do you want to look back at your life and go, wow, I worked a lot. Oh, that was great. I didn't spend any time with my family, but I sure got a lot of hours and made money.
I was the best video game player in the world. Or I was, you know, I could watch TV better than anybody. You know, it's not really what we want to have on our resume when we walk up to God in heaven. It'd be like, no, God, I took the time to get to know you. I took the time to share you with others.
I made difference in someone's life. Like, I reached out to someone that was hurting.
I loved a lost and dying world. I think that's the ultimate, you know, thing that we really need to look at. I think God's in the business of people. He loves people. He wants us to reach people with his message. It's the gospel. You know, we've got to take the gospel out of the walls of the church, and we've got to go into the community and be who God's calling each one of us to be.
Guys, be the love of Jesus.
Amen. We hope that you enjoyed the program today, and go and make room for God. Thanks for turning the light on. It's Pastor Kevin and Lisa, and we love you guys. Have a good day.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.